morning, everybody. How we doing? Man, it's so good to be here this morning. I want to, actually, the first thing I want to tell you is that this is more of just a self-disclaimer. I'm all congested right up here, and I feel like my voice sounds like Morgan Freeman or something, you know. Actually, his voice is way too good. I don't sound like that. I sound like a nasally version of I don't know who I'm even thinking of right now, but it's just bad. So if I cough and all that, I just want to apologize. I just wanted you to know that I'm going through that. And if any snots or anything happen, it's just part of the thing. That's really what I wanted you to know. Want to say welcome to all the campuses out there. Want to say hi to our campus up in Novato, our campus over at Tulare Street, our campus, campus over at Selma. And then our OTC campus, Old Town. Love that you guys are joining us. And then, of course, our North campus here. Want to welcome you guys as well. Yeah. So good. I love the fact that we have one church with many locations. And you want to know something so exciting that's happening? I kind of peel it back a little bit. Every Tuesday morning, we have these meetings where we gather and we just kind of review some stuff and we look over some stuff. We're always looking at numbers and data and all that kind of stuff. Can I just tell you that... not only do we see people coming to Christ on this campus, but for like the last several months, every time we pull up this data to look at, all of our campuses, we're seeing people come to Christ. So I'm just saying, love you, family. Love you. And we're just seeing such an amazing movement of God. Hey, I want to start off this morning. Actually, I guess I started off with the snot stuff. You've probably heard, you know that Israel is in a conflict right now, and there's a war going on in the Middle East, and it's not pretty. And then most of you heard yesterday about what happened with Iran joining the conflict. And so it's a mess. There's some real things happening around our world, and especially in that region. But I want to stop and just have all of our campuses right now pray for Israel and for what's happening in that region. And most of all, church, those of you who are followers of Christ here, let's pray for peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And that's what we ought to be praying. So will you join me as we pray together? Father, we are amazed, Lord, that you move and interact with us in such a personal way. And yet, Lord, today we come to you and pray for the conflict that's happening in the Middle East. We pray for Israel. Father, as we jump into your word today, we're going to be studying the book of Joshua. And in your word, you gave them the land and you went before them. And you fought the battles on their behalf. And everywhere they touched their foot, you gave. And so it's in that, Lord, in the nature of that word in your book of Joshua, that we ask God for the same. We ask for the same, Lord. We ask, Lord, you would intervene, God, that you would fight the battles, Lord. And ultimately, Lord God, we pray for Israel and we pray for peace in that region. Father, it doesn't satisfy you, and nor does it ask God when we see what is happening. So would you intervene, Lord? That is our prayer. God, I pray for the Christians that are in that region. God, there's Christians in Iran, there's Christians in Israel, there's Christians in Palestine, Lord. And Father, would you protect them and would even use them, God? And so, Lord, we lift this up to you today, knowing that you are more than capable of moving. So we ask that you do. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Hey, we are going to continue the story. We're on week 7. I know it seems like it's been a long time, but we're on week 7. And it's getting good right here at week 7. How many of you guys are following along at all of our campuses? Just raise your hands. How many of you guys are following along with the story? Yeah, I hope you're getting just filled and enriched by this. It's an overarching look at the narrative of Scripture. And we're in chapter 7 of the story. That would land us squarely in the book of Joshua. Now, the book of Joshua is an amazing book. So real fast, what's happening is we've seen all the way from the creation story of Adam and Eve through the lens of what's happening in the budding nation of Israel through Abraham and then all of his sons. We've seen Joseph off to slavery. We've seen the people of Israel in captivity, slaves for 400 years. Moses is there. He finally leads them out because of their rebellion. They have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And the people that were in that rebellion were not able to see the promised land. Last week, Pastor Sean did a great message on faith and hope and overcoming fear in regards to that. And if you didn't listen to it, go back and listen to it. In fact, while we're talking about going back and listening to that sermon, I want to highlight something real quick. There is a podcast that is put on every single week. On Mondays, there are two people, our comms director, Morgan, and Pastor Brandon at our Tulare Street. They host a podcast with the teaching pastor from that weekend. And what we do is we go more in depth into the book that we were talking about that weekend. And we go more in depth into the story. Because guess what? 40 minutes, we can't cover it all, right? I mean, who were kidding? 45 minutes, we can't cover it. I'm preaching today. 50 minutes, you cannot cover. I'm just kidding. Everybody's like, I'm out of here. And so we go just more detail. So if you want to just kind of get more details, figure out what was cut out of the sermon, we talk about that and we post that. There's a QR code in your bulletin where you could hit that and get a link right to that podcast, okay? So if you're interested in that, I just wanted to throw it out. But Pastor Sean's message last week was amazing. And he talked a lot about fear and how to overcome those fears and living in our faith. And so, which is a major theme in the book of Joshua. And so Joshua starts off with the fact that Moses is dead, and then now he is leading the people across the Jordan into what they call the Promised Land. They call it the Promised Land because it's the land that God set aside for the people of Israel, but there were people living in that land. And so they knew there was going to be some battles to be had. There was going to be some conflict there. But God said, listen, cross into the Jordan. I've given you the land. I've given it to you. It's your inheritance. In fact, we're going to hear that word a lot. But let me tell you about Joshua just a little bit and the battle that was happening. The book of Joshua covers about a 7-year piece of history from Israel. The whole book of Joshua takes about 7 years. There's 31 kings that were defeated as the people of Israel entered into the land and began to take possession of the land that God gave them. And as part of that, they inherited about 10,000 square miles. That's the land that we're talking about, 10,000 square miles. It doesn't seem super huge, but at the same time, that's a pretty big chunk of land. If you're wanting to know what about 10,000 miles is, Fresno's smaller than 10,000 square miles. Think about this. If you're driving down the 99, you hit the 5, you're going down south, you go over the Grapevine, you enter into LA County, the land would start about right there, and it would cover LA County, Orange County, and San Diego County. That's 10,000 square miles. And that's the land that we're talking about in the book of Joshua. That for 7 years, it took them that amount of time to take what God gave them as their inheritance and to establish firmly their nation in that land. That's where we're at. That's what we're going to talk about today in the book of Joshua. So if you have your Bibles, your iPads, your iPhones, however you access the Word of God, I want you to meet me in Joshua chapter 21. We're going to start in verse 43. And as you're turning there, listen, we're going to start at the end of Joshua. because at the end there's a summary verse, which we're about to read a couple verses that are going to summarize everything that happened in the book of Joshua. Are you ready for it? So if you are able to, will you join and stand me as we read God's word together? This is Joshua chapter 21, and we're starting in verse 43. It says this, "So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors." He's talking about like this is towards the end of the book. So he says that the Lord gave Israel all the land that he sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. Not one of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. This is God's word. You may be seated. What a promise, or I'm sorry, what a reflection those two verses are, right? Remember at the beginning, God said, Moses is dead. Joshua, you're going to lead the people now. Can you imagine taking on that task of leading hundreds of thousands of people across the river into the land where there were people already living? And how are they going to do it? Moses was supposed to do this, but he didn't get the chance to because of the rebellion that was happening in the nation of Israel. And so they wandered for 40 years, but now Moses is dead. It is time for Joshua to be the next leader and lead his people into the land that 40 years earlier God told them to go possess. And so there's one thing I want to focus on today, actually just one word. Like I said, there's a lot of themes in the book of Joshua, a lot. Sean did a great job of covering some of those themes last week as part of that message. And so I don't want to repeat that, but there is one word that continues to come up over and over and over again. And that's the word inheritance. We find that word, in fact, 51 times in the book of Joshua. And if something's said over and over and over that many times, it's probably something we ought to look at and examine to see what's really happening. So this is what's happening in the big story here. You remember when we started this journey in the story, there's an upper story and there's a lower story. If you're just joining us, this is what I mean by that. As you read the narrative of Scripture, starting in Genesis, going all the way to Revelation, God is going to give you an upper story. He's going to show you what he is doing with his people all the way through the narrative of the Scripture of the Bible. And then there's a lower story, meaning that what we do is we take that upper story and narrative and we bring it down to our story today to show this how we ought to live as followers of Christ and how we understand God works, not only in the big story, but in our personal story. It's the upper story and the lower story. And so today I want to give you an example of the upper story and lower story to help us understand exactly where we're at in the narrative of Scripture in the book of Joshua. So the upper story, it should be on your screen. It says this, Moses is dead. Moses' protege, Joshua, is installed as the new leader of Israel. With the passing of Moses, the Lord tells Joshua that it is time to enter into the land that God has given them as an inheritance. The budding nation of ex-slaves and nomads have seen an entire generation perish in the desert and are ready to go into the land that God has promised them. They're ready. They've heard rumors of it, and now it's time, it's go time. And so we find at the beginning of Joshua, them entering into the promised land. Now, the lower story, that's what's happening in the bigger story. Now let's take a look at what that means for us, the lower story. Should be on your screen. It says there are many themes in the book of Joshua that we could relate to in our lower story. Faith, hope, courage, those are all great themes. However, the concept of God's inheritance, both to the nation of Israel and us today, is the foundation of our relationship with God. This word inheritance is very important to understand. And so what I want to do today, I want to attempt to try to break it down in a way that we can understand not only that God gave the people, they inherited the land of Israel from God, but we also have inherited something from God, that God gave you and I. And so we're going to examine this word called inheritance. Now, the Hebrew word for inheritance, this is going to give us some insight, is the word nahil, nahil. You could say it, but I got a lot of phlegm and I can't really say it right now. But that word, listen to what that word means. There's something unique about this word. It means to receive an irrevocable gift with an emphasis on the special relationship between the benefactor and the recipient. You're like, that's not news. That's exactly what inheritance means. However, in our society, it seems we might have lost a little bit of what really inheritance means. Like, for example, there could be inheritances, you know, how many, I've never received an inheritance. I grew up poor. And so, you know, my parents, they, you know, my mom's still living and she reminds me all the time, I got nothing for you. And so I'm like, no worries, mom, you know, it's good. But sometimes people out there, they get an inheritance. And sometimes they get inheritance from people they didn't even know, just because you're related and somebody tells you, or you get an inheritance of all this. And really, the emphasis in the Old Testament on this word inheritance is that it was a special relationship. Meaning in the Old Testament, now we've already read some of the stories of that, and we'll continue to do so, but in the Old Testament, what the rule of law was, that if you were mom or dad, you know, you were the benefactor, everything went to your firstborn son. There was a special relationship there. You remember Esau stole the birthright. Remember that whole story? There was something special. And the reason why it went to the firstborn son, so that the firstborn son can continue to develop and grow and represent the family well. You following me? There was a special relationship. Now it could be whatever. And let me give you an example of what I mean by an inheritance could be whatever. I have here a story of an inheritance that God has gone incredibly wrong. How many of you guys know who Leona Helmsley is? Leona Helmsley? I didn't know who Leona Helmsley was. There's a few people on the staff that had to educate me on who Leona Helmsley was. But I'm going to read you her story right now. It says, excuse me, longtime socialite, excuse me, that won't happen anymore. Here we go. Longtime socialite Leona Helmsley was once infamously dubbed the Queen of Mean. She lived up to the reputation too. She and her husband had been successful in business and real estate. Over the years, she gained notoriety for her harsh treatment towards others and her frugality. Her reputation reached new heights in 1988 when she was charged and convicted of tax evasion. One witness reported that they heard Helmsley utter the famous words, "We don't pay taxes, only the little people pay taxes." Tomorrow's tax day. If nobody has their taxes done, better get it done by tomorrow. I'm one of those little people. But after serving time in prison because of tax evasion, Helmsley became a dog lover. She eventually adopted a pooch named Trouble. Upon her passing in 2007, you can probably see where this is going, Helmsley left Trouble, the dog, with a $12 million inheritance. Hey. What can we do and a dog can't do with $12 million, right? Her brother, tasked with caring for the dog, received another $10 million. Two of her supposedly beloved grandchildren were left with just $5 million. I don't know how they made that. I don't give. However, her real estate was valued between $4 billion and $8 billion. She ordered that the majority of her wealth be placed in a charitable trust, which was earmarked for money meant for Trouble. The will soon faced several legal challenges. Two of her grandchildren, who had been disinherited, successfully sued for $3 million each. Meanwhile, the executors sued for $100 million of their services and won. A judge later knocked down Trouble's inheritance from a mere $12 million to just $2 million. I don't know how Trouble's going to get along with just $2 million. Animal welfare groups even argued for a larger portion of the charitable trust and waged their own legal battles for it. Unfortunately, the Queen of Mean left one lasting legal legacy after her torrid and tumultuous life. A lot of money inherited, a dog really, really living the good life right now. Legal battles, just fighting each other in the family, and no one really won, probably, except the lawyers and the executors, right? And the charitable trust. Now, I'm all for, like, animals and all that stuff, but man, $12 million for a dog. I say, woof, woof, I'll be your dog. Somebody in here wants to leave, I'm right here. I'll stoop to great level. No, I'm kidding. This sometimes is what we think of as inheritance. We think, what can we get out? Whatever's left, what can I get out of it? I'm going to get this and this and this from either somebody I do know or maybe somebody I don't know. But the problem is, a lot of times in our society, we think of inheritance as something that I'm going to get. Instead of, there was a special relationship. And what I'm saying is, when we talk about the word inheritance in the book of Joshua, I'm suggesting that God had given them this land as their inheritance because there was a special relationship between the people of Israel and their father. There was a special relationship. In fact, I challenge you to look through the book of Joshua and see the words, go take the land. Joshua, God never told Joshua to go take the land. God told Joshua to go receive the land that I gave you as your inheritance. And that's something to note there. It's important to note that because a lot of times what we want to do is we want to think that as our inheritance with God, that we actually have something to do with it. Now hear me out here for just a moment. How many of us, and I fall into this trap several times, how many of us have ever came to the conclusion, oh God, if I just work more for your kingdom, you'll bless me more? How many of us, God, if I just give more to your kingdom, surely you'll bless me more with more money? Like if I just do, Lord, then you have to, it's like A plus B equals C. God, if I do it, you'll bless me. But that's not how the kingdom works. In fact, there's some brothers and sisters that, as one of your pastors, I would highly suggest you really pay attention to this. But there's some of our brothers and sisters out there preaching a false gospel in the sense of that they tell you that the Bible says that if you give X amount of money, God will bless you with much more money on the backside. Can I just tell you that is false, that is wrong, and that is not of Scripture? So if you fall into that trap, I'm just telling you, please examine what the Scripture says. Now, God will bless you. He blesses us all the time. But it's not based on how much work we've done. It's based on the fact that His Son has done the work for us on the cross. We are a blessed people. We are blessed because of the work of Jesus, and that we are inheritance is exactly that. It's an inheritance that we get from the Father because of the work of the Son. Are you following me? Now, because of the inheritance we get, that's why we serve. That's why we give. And I'm going to explain that in just a few moments. But what does it mean to have an inheritance from God? It means that we have a special relationship with God. And again, the only reason we have that special relationship is because Christ died on the cross for us, and we have surrendered our lives to Him and have entered into a relationship with Him. Let's look at what some of the Scripture says. Let's look at this right now. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 and 4. Let's look at the inheritance that God gave the people of Israel, and then we're going to see what He has given us. Joshua 1, 1 through 4, it says this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give to them, the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. Did you catch that? This is the inheritance to the people of Israel. This is God's promise to them that I am going to give you every place where you set your foot. They have not even fought one battle yet. That they have not even faced one foe yet. And God is promising them that I'm going to give you everywhere where you step into the promised land. That's an inheritance. It's based on the relationship that God had with his people. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. He just described those 10,000 square miles. And God said, listen, I promised the people when they got out of Egypt that this land was waiting for them. It's their inheritance. But because of their rebellion, now it is yours, your job, Joshua, to enter into that land. I know it's scary. I know it's fearful. The spies came back and said there's a lot of giants in the land. There's a lot of walled cities in the land. But I'm telling you, even before you go, I promise you that you are going to be able to take down any of your foes because I've already given you the land. Amen. I love that inheritance. I love that promise. And what did God do? We've already read it. We started with the verse in Joshua chapter 1 that said God fulfilled every one of his promises by giving him the entire land. What an inheritance. What an inheritance. Now, that's the upper story. Let's focus on the lower story. How does that work to our, what is our inheritance as followers of Christ? Let's take a look at these verses right here. I'm going to read three different verses. I'm going to go through them quickly, but I want you to listen carefully about exactly what is our inheritance. What does it mean to be a follower of Christ and have that close relationship with the Father? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard this message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, here it goes, ready? When you believed, here's the inheritance. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our what? Inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. What Paul is telling us in Ephesians is this. The moment you come into relationship with God, the moment you surrender and accept him as Jesus, as Savior and Lord, that you are filled with the Spirit and you were sealed with God's promise. What that is referring to is back in the day, in Paul's day, there were graves that were sealed because there was a problem with grave robbers. And if somebody was buried in this coffin, they would put a seal over that. And if somebody tried to get in there, they would break the seal and they would know that somebody was in there and they ought not to be in there because they broke the seal. This is God's promise to us that the moment we come into relationship with him, we are sealed. That seal cannot be broken. He died on a cross for that seal and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. That's our inheritance. Okay, you're not excited about that inheritance. Let's move on. It gets better. It's good. I promise you, it's good. Galatians 4:7. Check this out. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. So not only are we sealed, not only do we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we are now labeled as children of God. Whoa, yeah, it's getting better. This is our inheritance. Holy Spirit dwells in us, and we get to be called children of God. Wow, image bearer of our Father. I'm going to tell you something right now. I got kids, and I'd do anything for my kids. And, you know, fathers, mothers, you get this. Like, let's be real. Like, if somebody messes with your kid, that's kind of like messing with you, right? Now I'm not that intimidating, and so it's not that big of a deal. But my father, oh, he's got some power. He's got some power. And the world messes with his children, guess what? That cannot be the music already. Holy smokes. I'm taking way too long here. We're children of God. We're image bearers of the Father. It gets better. Are you ready to move on? It gets better. Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are his children, then we are his heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in this suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. Not only does the Holy Spirit dwell in us, not only were we sealed, not only are we children of God, but we are co-heirs to his throne. Amen. Wow. I want you to let that sink in for just a moment. I want you to let that sink in and see, what does that mean, that I am a co-heir to the throne of God? Wow, that's heavy. If I'm a co-heir to something, if I'm an heir to my Father, I represent him, I'm his image bearer, and I get everything. I get everything. I get every blessing that comes from God. I get everything. I'm not trying to teach a prosperity gospel here. What I'm trying to do is get all of us to realize that we are co-heirs to the throne, and that's what our identity should be. There's not a better identity than that. Listen, I know we struggle. I struggle too. I know we struggle with our identity. I know that we do things so that people see us. That's what social media platforms are all about, right? And on social media, how many times have we put up pictures? How many times have we reported things on social media that we're just hoping people see and we'll just hit that like button, because it makes me feel better when people hit that like button, because that means people somehow like me. Are you following me? So many times we're like, man, my identity is in my work. My identity is in my family. My identity is in how much money I make. My identity is how many toys I have. And I'm not saying those are bad things. I'm just saying, as followers of Christ, that's not your identity. Your identity is found in God and what God says about you. And when we're co-heirs to the throne, what does that mean, church? That means the Father goes with us because we bear his image. And that means we don't have to face these things alone. We don't have to go into battle without any weapons. Our weapons are God. The weapons are the Holy Spirit in us. The weapons are that we can talk to our Father at any time, in any place, and let him know how we're doing. Our weapons are, we can let him know how we're feeling, and the Holy Spirit's going to comfort us. Our weapons, our identity, our image is found in Christ and Christ alone. He tells us who we are, not the world. This is important. This is important. And it's important because it's time that the church comes to grips with the fact that we are not like the world, that we are image bearers of the Father because we're co-heirs to his throne. So I just have one question. And this is not like, just, if you're in a small group studying the story, you should like talk about this question this week, serious. Because I think it's a good question. It's a reflective question. I've been studying this for the last 3 weeks preparing for this morning. And I just came to the conclusion on this question, and I had to answer it in my own life. And it's a tough question, but here's the question. Are you living out of your inheritance, or are you living out of your circumstances? That's a tough question. But it's a good question to reflect on. If God is for us, who could be against us? If the image bearer, we're image bearers to God, then who could stand up against that? I understand we face troubles. Don't get me wrong. Life's not Skittles and rainbows. I totally, fully understand that. And maybe you're even feeling it more this morning because you're in some rough circumstances. But when you know who your Father is, and you know who you can go to, and you know who won't abandon you, then life makes, it makes life living so much more. You see, this is what we get out of our inheritance. You come to know Christ, you are given a purpose, and our destiny is heaven. That's a pretty good deal. That's a great inheritance, because everything else is going to disappear. When life ends, everything goes away. All those like buttons, social media, toys, bank accounts, all gone. But our purpose and our destiny is secure because we're co-heirs to the throne. Yeah. I hope your hands are not hurting yet. I got one story. Are we good? Even if she said no, I'm not sure I would have stopped. Sorry. This story is about a rich man. Owned a great big house, but in that house, this man's prized possession was his art collection. He had some great art that was worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he had a lot of it. That was his prized possession. And this rich man had a son, and the son was a great guy. He understood who he was related to, and he understood that he was from a family with means, but he didn't care. Every day he would go out into the streets, and one day he found a homeless man that he struck up a relationship with him. And it was a beautiful relationship. Every day he would go to the homeless man and talk with them and get him some food and some help, and they created this bond together, this rich young man and this homeless man. The homeless man was blessed by him, and the rich man's son was blessed by him. And one day the homeless man was waiting for his friend to come, and his friend never came. And so the second day he went to the spot they always meet up, and again the son never came. Third day, fourth day, fifth day passed, and his friend never came. The rich young man just seemingly disappeared. And so, concerned for his friend, the homeless man went up to the mansion and talked to one of the guards standing guard there at the mansion and asked him, "I have a friend. The rich man's son is my friend. I haven't seen him in a while. Do we know what happened to him?" And the guard told him, "Sadly, a few days ago, he tragically died in an accident." And the homeless man mourned for his friend and realized that's why he hadn't been coming. And so to honor his friend, he doesn't have anything to give. So this homeless man went over and got a piece of paper and some crayons. And the best he could, he drew a portrait of his friend, of the man's son. And he took it over to the mansion where they lived, and he gave it to the guard, and he said, "His son was my friend. And I don't have much, but I drew this portrait because I know that his dad loves art. And so I drew this portrait as best as I could. Would you give it to the father?" And the guard kind of looked at it and went, kind of smirked and said, yeah, I'll give him this, man. Thanks. And the homeless man went away, and several years passed and never heard anything from that family until one day he got word that the rich man who owned this great art collection died. And in his passing, there was going to be an estate sale where they were going to sell his entire art collection. It was worth millions. And so the homeless man got word of that and said, "Somehow I want to get to that art collection. I just want to see out of curiosity if my piece of art made it into the collection." And so he borrowed some clothes and he tried to tidy up as best as he could. And he tried to sneak into the art collection, and sure enough, he got in. And as he walked into this mansion, he saw all the art that was going to be auctioned off. And there in the corner was his picture that he drew with crayons from his son, of his son. And so he sat down with everybody else, all these art critics and art collectors. They were closely looking at each piece to make sure they understand the worth and the value of each art piece in there. And as the auctioneer began, the auctioneer said, "There was one condition on this art sale, and that is this. The man who left all this art wants this piece to be auctioned off first." And he pointed to the homeless man's picture of his son. And all the art collectors were like, "Oh, goodness." You could hear the moans and groans. They didn't care about that piece of art. They were here for the real stuff, the stuff that was valuable. And so they got this piece off the board, and the auctioneer held it up and said, "Do I have any bids on this?" And there were no bids. So the homeless man reached into his pocket, and he noticed he had just a few cents in his pocket. And so with those few cents, he reached out and he said, "I'll bid this much right here." It was just a few cents. And the auctioneer said, "Anybody else, any other bids? Going once, going twice, three, you are sold. You get the picture for just a few cents. Oh, so happy was the homeless man that he ran up and he grabbed the picture because he finally remembered his friend. And as he was walking back, the auctioneer said, there's another condition to this sale. The other condition is this. The man who passed away and is selling all this wanted me to let you know the other condition is that whoever bought the first picture gets all of the art. Lucky day for that homeless man. I tell you this story because of this. Let this ring true in your hearts today. That if you have the Son, then you have all the treasure of the Father. If you have the Son, then you have all the treasure of the Father. That is true. That is our inheritance because we have the Son, because he willingly went and died on a cross for your sins and my sins. And those of us who have surrendered our lives to him and given him and now are followers of Christ, we have access to the Father and everything that comes with it. That's our inheritance. We should start acting accordingly. Amen, church? Let's pray together. Father.